biofeedback that focuses on harnessing the brain's plasticity. Neurofeedback is a form of biofeedback that focuses on harnessing the brain's plasticity to address neurological and psychological conditions. The primary purpose of neurofeedback training is to help individuals learn to regulate their brainwave activity, thereby promoting improved mental and emotional well-being. Using EEG technology, neurofeedback training monitors brain activity in real time and provides clients with feedback on their brainwave patterns. This enables them to practice self-regulation, cultivating measurable and meaningful changes. Neurofeedback operates on the principle that the brain, when given appropriate information about its function, can learn to adapt and optimize its processes. Core concepts of neurofeedback training center on brainwave frequencies and their relationships with various states of consciousness and behaviors. Delta waves are associated with deep sleep, theta waves with creativity and relaxation, alpha waves with calm wakefulness, and beta waves with focused attention. Neurofeedback protocols are designed to enhance or suppress specific frequencies to address issues such as anxiety, ADHD, sleep disorders, or peak performance states. Clients often receive visual or auditory feedback, such as a changing graph or tone, which helps them understand when their brain achieves desired states. This real-time feedback loop supports learning through practice, reinforcing brain states associated with symptom reduction or performance enhancement. Process roadmap. The process roadmap in neurofeedback training provides a structured framework that guides the clinician and client from assessment to training and eventual mastery. This roadmap typically begins with a comprehensive intake session, including a quantitative EEG or QEG, also known as brain mapping. The QEG identifies dysregulated brainwave patterns that inform the development of a personalized training protocol. Subsequent sessions involve active neurofeedback training, where the client learns to modulate their brainwaves with the help of continuous feedback. Progress is tracked over time with periodic reassessments, ensuring the training remains aligned with the client's goals. This dynamic roadmap emphasizes flexibility and responsiveness to the client's evolving needs. Client, clinician roles. Client, clinician roles in neurofeedback training are collaborative and dynamic, emphasizing a partnership rather than a hierarchical relationship. The clinician serves as an educator and guide, interpreting brainwave data, designing training protocols, and facilitating the sessions. On the other hand, clients are active participants in the process, learning to control their brainwave activity through consistent practice. This partnership fosters a sense of agency in clients, empowering them to take charge of their mental health and resilience. As clients gain skill in self-regulation, the clinician's role becomes increasingly supportive, ensuring that the training continues to reflect the client's emerging capacities and objectives. Clinic policies. Clinic policies form the backbone of a professional and ethical neurofeedback training practice. Clear policies ensure transparency, consistency, and trust between the clinician and the client. These may cover session structure, fees, cancellation policies, and confidentiality. Clinics may outline the number of recommended sessions, expected outcomes, and the limits of neurofeedback training to help clients develop realistic expectations. Policies also include privacy measures, particularly when using cloud-based EEG software, to reassure clients about the security of their data. Initial session goals. The initial session in neurofeedback training serves as the foundation for the therapeutic relationship and sets the tone for the entire process. One of its primary goals is to address misconceptions about how neurofeedback training works. Many clients arrive with limited or inaccurate knowledge influenced by popular media or anecdotal reports, and may view neurofeedback training as a quick fix or a universal solution. The clinician's role is to educate clients on the science behind neurofeedback, explaining that it is a learning process that requires commitment and practice. By debunking myths and providing accurate information, clinicians help clients approach training with an informed and open mindset. The session also clarifies what neurofeedback equipment does. Clients may feel intimidated by EEG sensors or the technical nature of the feedback system. Demonstrating how the sensors record scalp-level electrical activity and explaining that the feedback is non-invasive and passive helps to alleviate misunderstandings. Written informed consent is a crucial component of the initial session. This document outlines the nature of the training, potential risks, and expected outcomes. It ensures that clients understand what they are agreeing to and provides a space for questions. Informed consent is more than a legal formality. It is a tool for building trust and transparency. The informed consent process also highlights the experimental nature of some neurofeedback applications. While there is strong empirical support for treating conditions like ADHD and anxiety, other uses are still under investigation. Clinicians must be candid about research limitations and emphasize the importance of ongoing evaluation and communication. A thorough clinical history is also collected, including symptom presentation, lifestyle factors, and personal goals. This information helps contextualize QEG findings and informs individualized protocol design. Finally, the initial session lays the groundwork for a collaborative and supportive environment. By validating the client's experiences and encouraging open communication, clinicians foster trust and engagement. The session is not just about technical preparation, but about establishing a durable partnership in the training process. Competence development, EEG equipment literacy. Developing competence in EEG equipment literacy is foundational to effective neurofeedback training. This begins with mastering measurement techniques for accurate electrode placement. Clinicians must identify anatomical landmarks on the scalp, such as the nasion, inion, and preauricular points, to guide electrode positioning. These measurements ensure consistent and reproducible electrode placement across sessions, which is essential for targeting specific brain regions. The International 10-20 system is the established standard for EEG and neurofeedback electrode placement. It divides the scalp based on proportional distances between anatomical landmarks to ensure even distribution. Understanding this system allows clinicians to target sites with functional relevance, such as FZ and CZ for attention and motor control, or PZ for relaxation. Familiarity with each site's functional role enhances the precision and effectiveness of neurofeedback protocols. Proper electrode attachment is critical for signal fidelity. The clinician prepares the scalp to reduce impedance using alcohol or abrasive gel and applies conductive paste to ensure good electrical contact. An impedance meter is used to verify that readings fall within acceptable limits, typically below 10 kiloohms. If electrode placement is suboptimal, recordings may be compromised by noise or poor signal quality, undermining training efficacy. Clinicians must also develop troubleshooting skills. For example, high impedance at one site or unstable signal quality may require re-cleaning the scalp or checking for loose leads. Regular equipment maintenance further supports reliability. Equally important is the clinician's ability to explain EEG procedures to clients. By clearly describing the non-invasive nature of the technology and demonstrating its use, clinicians can reduce apprehension and increase client cooperation. Understanding the limitations of EEG technology is also essential. Unlike imaging modalities such as fMRI, EEG provides high temporal resolution but limited spatial resolution. Clinicians must interpret data judiciously and avoid overstating the conclusions drawn from EEG signals. Finally, EEG competence must evolve with technological advancements. As new systems and software emerge, clinicians must pursue ongoing education to stay current and uphold high standards of care. Artifact creation and recognition. Artifacts are extraneous signals in EEG recordings that can distort data and interfere with neurofeedback training. Competence in artifact recognition begins with differentiating normal from abnormal EEG waveforms during visual inspection. Typical waveforms include delta, theta, alpha, and beta, each associated with distinct states and functions. Abnormal patterns such as excessive slowing or sharp spikes may indicate neurological concerns that warrant further evaluation. Common artifact sources include muscle tension, eye movements, and environmental interference. For example, muscle contractions near the forehead can generate high-frequency noise, while eye blinks produce large, slow deflections. Electrical interference from nearby devices may appear as rhythmic noise at 50 or 60 Hz. Visual inspection of the raw EEG is the clinician's most powerful tool for identifying these contaminations, which often display unique waveform characteristics. Managing artifacts begins with client preparation, ensuring that the client is physically relaxed, and minimizing head and body movement can reduce muscle-related noise. Environmental modifications, such as distancing the EEG amplifier from other electronics, also help. Filters may be applied cautiously to remove specific noise frequencies, but overuse can distort the underlying EEG signal. The goal is to minimize the need for post-hoc correction through high-quality data acquisition. Artifact recognition is equally critical in QEG, since the quantitative EEG relies on statistical comparisons to normative data. Even minor artifacts can skew interpretations. Therefore, raw EEG must be carefully reviewed before computing QEG metrics to confirm the data's integrity. Training in artifact recognition typically occurs through mentorship and supervised practice. Trainees observe and learn to distinguish between physiological signals and noise, gaining confidence in managing real-time challenges. Interestingly, some artifacts also convey clinical information. For instance, persistent muscle tension may reflect anxiety, while frequent movement artifacts might suggest restlessness or difficulty sustaining attention. Modern neurofeedback systems offer automated artifact detection tools. While helpful, these systems cannot replace the clinician's judgment. A clinician must verify automated outputs to avoid reliance on algorithms that may misclassify data. Over time, clinicians develop an intuitive sense for artifact management, allowing for more efficient and accurate training sessions. This proficiency ensures the validity of assessments and supports effective, individualized intervention. BCIA Neurofeedback Essential Skills List. The Biofeedback Certification International Alliance, BCIA, provides an essential skills list that serves as a comprehensive guide for developing competence in neurofeedback. This framework outlines the critical knowledge and abilities required for ethical and effective practice. It covers equipment setup, protocol development, session implementation, and client education. A foundational element of this skills list is knowledge of neuroanatomy and neurophysiology. Clinicians must understand how different brain structures generate EEG signals and how these signals relate to behavior and cognition. This knowledge is vital for interpreting EEG data and designing evidence-based protocols. The ability to explain these mechanisms to clients supports informed participation and reinforces the clinician's credibility. Developing personalized training protocols is another cornerstone of the essential skills list. Clinicians must synthesize intake data, QEG findings, and symptom reports to create protocols that reflect both empirical evidence and client-specific needs. This process requires clinical judgment, scientific literacy, and adaptability, particularly when standard protocols need to be modified for complex presentations. The list emphasizes the importance of ongoing assessment. Clinicians must evaluate training effects using EEG data, symptom tracking, and behavioral observations. If a client fails to make progress, clinicians are expected to reassess the protocol, consider alternative approaches, and remain responsive to the client's evolving condition. Supervised mentorship is central to BCIA's training model. Under experienced supervision, trainees receive guidance on electrode placement, artifact control, data interpretation, and client interaction. This process fosters competence through practice and feedback, ensuring readiness for independent work. Demonstrations of full sessions allow trainees to observe best practices in action and to rehearse key procedures under supervision. Ethical practice is interwoven throughout the essential skills list. Clinicians must secure informed consent, maintain confidentiality, and respect professional boundaries. They must also be prepared to refer clients to other providers when needs exceed their scope. The commitment to ethics ensures that neurofeedback is practiced with integrity and client welfare at the center. Finally, the essential skills list promotes lifelong learning. Neurofeedback is an evolving discipline, and clinicians are encouraged to engage in continuing education, attend conferences, and stay abreast of emerging research. This commitment to growth ensures the delivery of current, effective, and ethical care. Assessment process components. The assessment process in neurofeedback training is comprehensive, integrating clinical, behavioral, and electrophysiological data to form a clear picture of the client's functioning. It begins with a home component, where clients complete questionnaires or symptom tracking forms before their initial appointment. These forms gather baseline information on mood, sleep, focus, and stress, offering insights into the client's current challenges and helping to identify patterns that may be targets for training. The intake session follows, offering an in-depth opportunity for the clinician to understand the client's history, concerns, and goals. During this interview, clinicians review medical and psychological backgrounds to identify factors that might influence training. A history of head injury, anxiety, or trauma, for instance, may inform protocol development. The intake session also provides time for clinicians to explain the neurofeedback process, clarify misconceptions, and set appropriate expectations. The EEG assessment, often in the form of a quantitative EEG, QEG, is central to identifying dysregulated brain activity. Electrodes are placed according to the 10 to 20 system to record electrical patterns during rest or task performance. These data are then compared to normative databases to detect deviations from typical brainwave distributions. For example, elevated theta in the frontal lobe may indicate attentional difficulties, while high beta in the same region may suggest anxiety. To enhance the Keeg's diagnostic power, clinicians may incorporate activation tasks during recording. These tasks might include reading, math, or emotional challenges, allowing clinicians to observe how the brain responds to different cognitive demands. This dynamic assessment supplements resting state data, offering a more nuanced view of neurological functioning. Clinicians monitor client behavior during EEG recording, noting signs such as fidgeting, drowsiness, or difficulty concentrating. These behavioral cues help interpret the EEG data and suggest areas for protocol adjustment. Following the assessment, the clinician explains the results to the client in clear, accessible language. This educational discussion connects the data to the client's reported experiences and outlines how neurofeedback can help address their symptoms. The assessment process concludes with integration of the intake, behavioral observations, and EEG findings into a customized training plan. This ensures that the intervention is grounded in objective data and tailored to the client's specific neurological profile. By combining physiological measurements with clinical insight, the assessment sets the stage for effective and individualized neurofeedback training. Tools. Neurofeedback assessments rely on specialized tools to collect accurate data and guide clinical decisions. One such tool is the NuQ assessment, which integrates EEG recording with task-based challenges to evaluate brainwave regulation. Like the clinical cue or NeuroGuide protocols, NuQ draws on empirical research and clinical expertise to interpret EEG data within behavioral contexts. Successful data collection depends on careful electrode placement and low impedance levels. Clinicians must ensure each sensor maintains proper contact with the scalp, using conductive paste and preparing the skin to reduce electrical resistance. Many systems, including NuQ, offer real-time feedback on electrode status, alerting clinicians to poor connections that might compromise data quality. Artifact minimization is essential for valid recordings. Clients are coached to relax, limit movement, and maintain focus to reduce contamination from eye blinks, muscle tension, or environmental interference. Filters may be used sparingly to remove persistent noise, such as power line interference, though the clinician must ensure these do not distort the underlying signal. The NuQ system includes tasks that alternate between rest and cognitive challenge, allowing clinicians to observe how brain activity shifts in response to changing demands. For instance, comparing brainwave activity during quiet rest and mental arithmetic may reveal dysregulation that only appears under load. These data help clinicians identify not just where, but when the brain struggles to maintain balance. Advanced software visualizes EEG data as maps, graphs, or statistical outputs. These representations allow clinicians to spot asymmetries, excesses, or deficits in specific frequency bands. For example, the software might show right-left asymmetry in alpha activity linked to emotional dysregulation or an elevated theta/beta ratio in frontocentral regions associated with inattention. Client preparation also plays a role in minimizing artifacts. Clinicians explain the procedure in advance and address concerns that may interfere with data quality. Anxiety during the assessment can generate physiological changes that skew EEG readings. A calm, informed client is more likely to produce clean, interpretable data. Interpretation of assessment data requires clinical judgment. Software may suggest areas of interest, but it is the clinician's responsibility to place those findings in context with the client's symptoms and history. For example, elevated beta activity might mean different things in an anxious adult than in a child with ADHD. Documentation of EEG findings, observational notes, and client responses creates a reliable record to guide future sessions and measure progress over time. Results interpretation. Interpreting neurofeedback assessment results involves converting complex EEG data into clinically actionable insights. The EEG tasks used during the assessment provide a dynamic perspective on how the brain functions under different conditions. A client may demonstrate coherent alpha activity while resting, but excessive theta during focused tasks, indicating challenges with sustained attention. These task-based patterns do more than confirm symptoms. They provide a window into the brain's ability to transition between states. Clients who struggle to shift from rest to alertness, or who remain hyper-aroused during relaxation, may show difficulty with emotional regulation or executive function. Understanding these dynamics informs the selection of appropriate training targets. Normative databases provide statistical benchmarks to identify deviations from typical brain activity. EEG recordings are compared against population data, highlighting regions and frequency bands where the client falls outside the norm. For example, a child with an elevated theta/beta ratio in the frontal lobe may be flagged for protocols targeting attention regulation. This objective data helps clinicians validate subjective reports and refine clinical impressions. However, results interpretation must incorporate more than raw statistics. Clinicians consider the client's developmental stage, daily functioning, and life context. For example, two clients with similar EEG profiles might require different interventions based on their goals, environments, and symptom severity. The clinician's task is to integrate these dimensions into a coherent treatment plan. Visualization tools, such as heat maps or spectral plots, help make EEG results more understandable for clients. These graphics allow clinicians to explain how dysregulated patterns relate to symptoms. A client training to improve sleep may see that reduced high beta activity in the evening corresponds with improved sleep quality. These visuals make the feedback process more engaging and reinforce client motivation. Interpretation is not static. As training progresses, clinicians compare post-training EEGs with baseline recordings to evaluate whether targeted patterns have shifted. This comparison allows for protocol updates based on real change rather than assumption. If expected changes are not observed, the clinician may revise the protocol or explore potential obstacles to progress. Ultimately, EEG result interpretation is a blend of quantitative analysis and clinical expertise. The best outcomes occur when data-driven insights are paired with a nuanced understanding of the client's lived experience. This holistic perspective ensures that neurofeedback protocols are both technically sound and personally relevant. Treatment implementation, client preparation. Preparing clients for neurofeedback training is essential to establish the foundation of a collaborative, informed, and successful therapeutic process. The clinician-client relationship must be built on mutual respect, transparency, and open communication. From the outset, clinicians take time to understand each client's history, expectations, and concerns, engaging them in a shared dialogue that empowers them to take ownership of their progress. Setting realistic expectations is a core component of this preparatory phase. Clients may arrive with the hope of rapid symptom relief or complete resolution after only a few sessions. Clinicians help reframe these assumptions by explaining that neurofeedback is a skill-based learning process. Just as physical training requires consistent practice to produce strength and endurance gains, neurofeedback necessitates time, repetition, and adaptation for the brain to regulate itself more efficiently. Educational interactions form the backbone of this preparation. Clinicians explain the relationship between brainwave activity and symptoms, using accessible metaphors and visual tools to illustrate how neurofeedback supports emotional regulation, focus, sleep, or performance. For instance, a clinician may describe how excessive beta activity relates to anxiety and how increasing alpha rhythms can support calm alertness. Visual aids such as brain maps or real-time EEG feedback deepen this understanding and demystify the science for clients. Clients are also introduced to the neurofeedback equipment and session procedures. Seeing the sensors, understanding how they measure electrical activity, and learning that the system is entirely passive, merely reading the brain, not stimulating it, helps to reduce anxiety. A clear walkthrough of session structure, including how feedback is delivered and what the client can expect to feel, builds familiarity and comfort. Practical guidance further supports successful training. Clients are advised to arrive well hydrated and avoid stimulants like caffeine before sessions, as these factors can influence brainwave patterns. For clients participating in remote sessions, clinicians provide instructions on setting up equipment, maintaining good posture, and creating a distraction-free environment. These small steps contribute to signal quality and the overall training experience. Potential obstacles to participation are addressed in advance. These might include scheduling challenges, concerns about failure, or environmental distractions at home. Clinicians collaborate with clients to identify workable solutions, emphasizing flexibility and problem-solving. This approach fosters resilience and helps clients remain committed when difficulties arise. Preparation is not a one-time event, but a continual process. As the training unfolds, the clinician revisits the client's goals, reinforces educational points, and adapts communication strategies. This ongoing support sustains engagement and strengthens the therapeutic alliance, ensuring that the client remains at the center of the neurofeedback journey. Procedures. Neurofeedback training encompasses a variety of procedures designed to meet specific therapeutic goals. One widely used method is alpha-theta training, which promotes deep relaxation and is often employed in treating stress, trauma, or addiction. In this approach, clients are guided to increase both alpha and theta brainwave activity, which are associated with meditative and hypnagogic states. Clients typically recline with eyes closed while auditory feedback, often in the form of music or tones, supports the emergence of these slower brainwaves. This state allows subconscious material to surface, facilitating emotional release and integration. Alpha-theta sessions require careful monitoring. Clinicians observe EEG signals in real time to ensure thresholds are appropriate and that the client remains within a therapeutic window. If emotional processing becomes overwhelming, the clinician may offer grounding techniques or pause the session. This level of attunement ensures that deep work occurs within a safe and supportive structure. Remote neurofeedback has become increasingly relevant, particularly for clients in remote areas or during public health restrictions. Using portable EEG systems and cloud-based platforms, clients can receive neurofeedback at home while remaining in regular contact with their clinician. This approach increases access and continuity of care, although it introduces challenges related to equipment setup and data quality. Clinicians provide clients with detailed instructions for using the system correctly, often including video tutorials or guided setup calls. They emphasize the importance of accurate electrode placement, signal quality checks, and environmental control. Remote protocols are typically simpler than in-clinic ones, but they retain core principles such as feedback accuracy and personalized thresholding. Clients are encouraged to report sensations and reactions during or after sessions so clinicians can adapt the protocol as needed. Training procedures are flexible and adapted to individual client needs. A client with attention difficulties may benefit from shorter sessions with more structured feedback, while a client seeking emotional regulation might respond better to longer, immersive sessions. Feedback modalities are also customizable. Clients who find music distracting may benefit from visual cues such as animations or screen brightness changes tied to brainwave activity. Ongoing evaluation is integral to procedural success. Clinicians monitor session data and client reports to determine whether the current approach remains effective. Adjustments may include altering feedback thresholds, switching target frequencies, or adding secondary goals. These modifications ensure that training remains responsive to the client's development and symptom profile. Above all, procedural integrity requires adherence to safety and ethical standards. Clinicians rely on evidence-based protocols, maintain clear documentation, and uphold the client's autonomy. Clients are always free to pause or stop sessions and are involved in every decision about the direction of their training. This respect for agency reinforces the collaborative nature of neurofeedback and safeguards the therapeutic alliance. Feedback approaches. Feedback is the central mechanism by which neurofeedback enables learning and brain regulation. It provides the client with real-time information about their brain's electrical activity, reinforcing desirable patterns and discouraging dysregulation. The most widely used form is proportional feedback, which continuously mirrors the client's brainwave activity and offers immediate, subtle reinforcement. Unlike binary feedback, which only signals success or failure, proportional feedback adjusts in real time to the degree of change, allowing clients to fine-tune their regulation strategies. For example, in a proportional feedback paradigm, a visual display such as a flower may open gradually as the client increases their SMR amplitude. If SMR decreases, the flower begins to close. This continuous relationship between the EEG signal and the feedback display provides intuitive and motivating cues. Because it responds dynamically, proportional feedback aligns well with the brain's natural learning processes, promoting gradual, sustained improvement. Event-related feedback adds another dimension to the training. This approach uses discrete signals, typically auditory cues, that are triggered when a client maintains a specific brainwave threshold for a minimum duration, often 250 milliseconds. For instance, during SMR training, a ping might sound when the amplitude remains above threshold long enough to suggest not just a fluctuation, but stable engagement with the desired state. This form of feedback is particularly useful for training attention and sustained mental control, as it rewards consistency and duration. To remain effective, event-related feedback must be carefully calibrated. If the threshold is too low, feedback may occur so frequently that it loses salience. If too high, the feedback may be rare and demotivating. Clinicians adjust thresholds in real time based on client performance, using data trends and behavioral cues to determine the optimal challenge level. The sensory modality of feedback, whether visual, auditory, or tactile, is another point of personalization. Clients differ in how they process information, and tailoring feedback to their preferences enhances engagement. Some respond well to soothing background music that fluctuates with brainwave activity. Others prefer watching a video that pauses unless they maintain the desired brain state. Still, others benefit from tactile cues such as a vibration when thresholds are met. Feedback approaches are also selected based on the clinical goal. For clients needing to relax, feedback may be smooth and continuous, emphasizing ease and flow. For clients working to build alertness or reduce inattention, feedback may be more distinct and frequent, encouraging active engagement. In both cases, the feedback must be meaningful, consistent, and tied directly to relevant brain activity. Crucially, clinicians interpret the feedback alongside clients. They explain what the changes represent, how they relate to symptoms, and how to apply regulation strategies outside of training. For example, a client might learn to use slow breathing to enhance alpha activity or focused attention to boost beta amplitude. This integration of neurofeedback skills into daily life is essential for long-term change. Finally, feedback systems must remain flexible and adaptive. As clients improve, their brain becomes more efficient at generating target activity. Feedback must evolve to reflect this new baseline, ensuring the challenge remains appropriate. Similarly, if a client's symptoms shift or new goals emerge, the feedback configuration may be adjusted to reflect a revised protocol. Feedback is not just a tool for shaping brain activity. It is a dialogue between brain and environment, clinician and client, and moment-to-moment performance and long-term learning. Demonstrations, International 10-20 System. The International 10-20 System is the foundational framework for electrode placement in both clinical EEG and neurofeedback. This globally accepted standard ensures that electrodes are positioned with anatomical accuracy and consistency across sessions and clients. It is based on the proportional distances between three key landmarks on the skull: the nasion at the bridge of the nose, the anean at the back of the head, and the preauricular points located just in front of each ear. Electrodes are placed at intervals of 10 or 20% of the total measured distances along the anterior, posterior, and lateral axes of the scalp. This proportionality gives the system its name and allows for reproducible placement across different head sizes and shapes. Each electrode site is labeled with a letter indicating the brain region: F for frontal, C for central, P for parietal, O for occipital, T for temporal, and Z for midline, and a number indicating hemisphere. Odd numbers for the left, even numbers for the right. Demonstrations of the 10 to 20 system are essential for training clinicians in proper electrode placement. These hands-on sessions typically involve using a measuring tape to find distances between the nasion and anean, and from ear to ear, and then calculating 10 or 20% increments to determine placement points. For example, to place an electrode at CZ, the clinician measures the midpoint between the nasion and anean and the midpoint between the left and right preauricular points. The intersection of these midpoints marks CZ, the central vertex of the scalp. Accurate placement is critical not only for data integrity, but also for targeting brain regions associated with specific cognitive or emotional functions. For example, F3 and F4 are commonly targeted for emotional regulation, T3 and T4 for auditory processing, and PZ for meditation and relaxation. Clinicians must understand the functional correlates of each site to select appropriate training targets. This knowledge links neuroanatomy to clinical decision-making and supports more effective protocol design. The 10 to 20 system also provides a standardized language for communication between clinicians and researchers. When a clinician reports that training occurred at CZ or FZ, others in the field understand precisely which region was targeted. This shared nomenclature facilitates collaboration, research replication, and the refinement of neurofeedback methodologies. In addition to mastering placement, clinicians must attend to client comfort and data quality. Preparing the scalp by cleaning it with alcohol and applying conductive gel reduces impedance and improves signal quality. Clinicians also monitor for discomfort or anxiety during electrode attachment and respond with reassurance and education. Clients who understand the purpose and feel respected during setup are more likely to relax and produce reliable data. Proficiency with the 10 to 20 system is not static. Even experienced clinicians benefit from revisiting placement procedures, practicing with different head shapes, and reviewing updates in electrode technology. Regular review, peer feedback, and continuing education ensure that electrode placement remains accurate, effective, and aligned with best practices in neurofeedback.